Welcome to the MMA Kill Shot podcast from DFS Army. We got UFC Singapore for all you people who don't like to fucking sleep. 5 a.m. on the East Coast. Get up early from the West Coast. Good luck. Shout out to all of my brothers over there in the UK who are, oh, this is what I deal with every. I don't care. I'm selfish. Like, I get it. You want to watch fights? This is what you do. But good for you guys. You get one. You get to see Max Holloway and the Korean Zombie. I'm Sniper here to cover this card. With me, as always, is Monk. We're going to talk betting. We're going to talk DraftKings. Especially Monk is going to break down DraftKings and his salary magic. We're going to cover all that stuff. Do me a favor, smash that like button for me. We've got more pay-per-views coming out. Make sure you subscribe to the DFS Army channel. Daily Fantasy Sports is our bread and butter. We've got football season coming, NBA, all that good stuff. Links are all in the description. Get in there. Most importantly, hit the like button. Get the MMA Kill Shot podcast out there because I do believe that MMA is the best DFS sport, especially for a sweat. You want a sweat, be heading into the main event needing a certain score. It's the best. Monk, we got Holloway and Zombie. I would have liked this fight 5 years ago, but overall the card's okay.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think we got two early ones for us USA boys. We got Paris next week, which is late compared to the Singapore card. So I am kind of looking forward to it. Definitely not going to be able to stay awake for this one, though. I might have to catch the plus replay on Saturday. But yeah, some decent fights. Would have liked to see Zombie 5 years ago, but apparently he doesn't want to retire until he fights Holloway. So I got respect for that, and hopefully it goes, you know, somewhat his way. Should be a good
talk about that in a second. I'll be up probably for, like, you know, in the comments, guys. One more thing to get some interaction there. Let me know what your plan is for this card, how you're going to watch it, and where you're going to be. Are you going to free ball and stay up all night if you're on the West Coast? You can wake up early if you're like me on the East Coast and watch the whole thing, main event, replay. What are you guys going to do? Let me know. I personally will probably – I'll be up for the main card. I'll probably get up. I'm an old man these days. I'll be up 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'll watch the main card, and I'll catch the prelims on replay throughout the day. So that's my plan.
Good plan. You get to see Rinya. Get to see Max. Giga's return. Couple good fights.
Couple good ones. Let's go ahead and start with the main event of the evening. We talked a little bit about it off the top. Max Holloway. He's minus 800. DraftKings, he's 9,700. Taking on Korean Zombie. I could just say Chan Sung Jung, but why not just say Korean Zombie? I would sing Zombie, but people would definitely close the window and not listen to the podcast anymore. Zombie is plus 550. Comeback on DraftKings is 6,500. I think the fight breakdown for this one is relatively straightforward. I think everyone's breaking it down the same. Look, Zombie is regressed. He's not as good of a striker as Holloway. He's not as fast. Not going to get people to get Holloway down with the Holloway's godlike defense. Where does Zombie win this fight? I mean, some kind of all of a sudden chin issue for Max Holloway, or just a, you know, the puncher's chance. You have to always talk about in MMA, that cliche puncher's chance. Probably doesn't happen. Holloway's the pick. DraftKings, fit him in. I will say Zombie, I do like Holloway doesn't have that put away knockout power, so I like the stack and cash games. I like the over 3.5. I think you get a decent price. I did a Prize Picks video about that today. We're actually, I think over 3.5 is like minus 140, minus 150 at the books. And Prize Pick has the line at, like, I think it's 16.5 minutes, which is less than 3.5 rounds. So I do like the over there because Zombie doesn't typically get put away quickly. It's been a long time. I think it's been like 2010 since the last time he didn't. He got knocked out early in the fight. So I think the fight breakdown is pretty straightforward, unfortunately. Go ahead and play Holloway. Tons of volume, even at the expensive price. I think there's one guy in this range I like a little more. But it's hard not to play Holloway at this price. There's also one fighter in this range who, if you're going to play, please take my head-to-heads. Just all my head-to-heads. So just send me invitations for whatever you want if you're going to roster the fighter we're going to talk about later. Monk, what do you got for this one?
Uh-oh, I hope it's not who I'm thinking. 127 points per win for Max Holloway in 5-round fights. And you know what he can do. I mean, guys, he put up almost, I mean, Wei Li almost put up, you know, probably one of the highest scores we've ever seen if it wasn't for Max Holloway, who put up over 209 points in one of his previous fights. Could have been the Cater. I don't remember who it is off the top of my head. But I like this fight for DraftKings a lot. I agree with you. Hopefully Zombie can, and yeah, we're not going to call him Chan Sung Jung. We're calling him Zombie, and you can all hear the song in your head. As well, shout out to who's the Cranberries, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah. I love when they play that song at any main event or at any UFC. Just gives me goosebumps, and I wasn't even ever a huge fan of them, so looking forward to that. Hopefully it goes the distance, because I do love Max Holloway, but 9,700 is not so enticing. But if you go for the stack in cash, like you just said, that opens up a world of possibilities. So obviously, you know, not a ton of numbers for me. I mean, I have them, but you don't need me to say them. Holloway out volumes. Holloway's with the 85% takedown defense, you know, five round wins at featherweight are over 100 points. So yeah, play your Holloway. And if you need to save salary, play some Korean Zombie as well, but the pick's Holloway for sure.
I had to bring the fight up since you referenced it. It was Calvin Kattar.
700. Oh, my God.
445 significant strikes landed.
And how many did – and he scored like 209. What did – I guess I don't want to make you pull up everything. That's not what this show is. But, yeah, Wei Li scored a ton, and Max outscored her in this fight by 19-plus points.
it's just crazy that Calvin Kattar landed 133 significant strikes.
There's 30 seconds total control time, and look at that score. My God.
And God tripled up. Like, oh, man, it's a good time. Good time.
Insane.
I had to pull it up.
Yeah. Did that.
All right, but we're going to move on, and we are going to talk about the co-main event of the evening. And this fight, you know what? This fight should not be the co-main event of the evening. I fucking said it. Not even close. I can make an argument for another fight. We all know what fight it is, but I'll save it just in case you don't. I'll make you wait. I can argue that that fight should be the main event, even though it's Max Holloway. The reason it's, they put that, we'll get there. You know what? I'm going to save it. I'm going to calm myself down. I'm going to bring it back down. We got Ryan Spann, who's minus 140, taking on Anthony Smith, who's plus 115. DK, Spann is 8,300. Smith is 7,900. They fought once before. Anthony Smith wins via round one triangle choke. Monk, how's it going down this time?
Yeah, I wish I could say I could see a repeat here. Because Anthony Smith from my hometown, I think he still lives in Omaha, so I'm huge for my Omaha guys. You know him and Dober. Even Grant Dawson doesn't really count, but still a Nebraska guy. But, yeah, Smith, man, I don't know. I'm not usually a narrative person, but this guy, I think, what is he, 35? Okay, so he's not that old, but in fight years, he's about 45 to 50, I would think. Just not where he was, man. He's got the commentator desk job now. He's got some podcasts with Bisbing. He's doing some stuff with Sirius. And shout out to him for all of that. Way to lock down your career post-fight. However, I just don't know, man. As far as a win goes, I don't know if he's going to get it. I'd like the same thing to happen. I'll be rooting for him. But as far as DraftKings points, he scores less than 93 per win, controls less than 18% of the grappling time. I mean, decent power index, and he's getting knocked down as well. So you like fights that he is involved in for DraftKings. Good strength of schedule, but overall less than 2 points a minute. Ryan Spann, a little bit better overall as far as pacing goes, but 89 points a win, like 42% takedown defense. A little bit of, you know, tons of power, actually. His power index is good. Both guys throwing up submissions everywhere. I like this fight overall. I don't think it goes all three rounds. Thank God it's not five. But I guess I'm leaning with Spann, and I don't like it. I'm rooting for Smith, but I think Spann probably gets the win, probably scores better than Smith. But, man, I'll have a little bit of both because they're so easy to get to, and either one could finish. And I don't think it goes all three.
So, for me, betting-wise, this fight is just a straight-up pass. I don't trust Anthony Smith at this point in his career. I don't trust Ryan Spann. He's improving, but he reeks of dum-dum. He reeks of bad fight IQ. I don't know what the fuck he's going to do in there, so I can't trusted that one. Unfortunately for DraftKings, they're both priced in the mid-range. The fight ends inside the distance is minus 500. You got to play both sides. And I have to stop short of an all-in. There's in terms of play in every lineup, like Geek would want to do. Because if you get a round two finish here, neither guy is very high volume. Even at 8,000, like, it might not be enough. But at minus 500, ends inside the distance, and the Ryan Spann's fights lot of round ones both ways. You got to have a bunch of it. It's hard to go all in for that reason. I'm gonna lean towards Anthony Smith, and that is gonna be my pick. It's not a confident pick. I told you how I'm breaking it down for DraftKings and for bets, but make me pick a side. I'll go with Smith because Spann is likely to do something silly and get caught in the guillotine or just something. It's round one KO for Spann wouldn't shock me at all, but I got to make a pick here. And I'll go with the guy with slightly better fight IQ. It also could be, if this goes to decision, I would say I could see Smith winning that way more often, but probably slightly more often. I think Spann, the way he fights, needs a finish. So that's how I'm breaking this one down. It's a weird fight in terms of pass all around, except in DraftKings GPPs, and then slam your nuts in it. Moving on, we got Giga Chikadze, guy that I honestly love to hate. I don't like Giga. Everybody loves him. I don't like him. He's minus 240. They got Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres plus 205. Chikadze is 9,000. Caceres is definitely 200. I will say that also Caceres is not really my cup of tea. I don't know. I'm weird in that I like grapplers. I like grapplers, wrestlers, big volume. Power obviously is fun. Chikadze is a good technical striker. He's got the Giga kick. Yeah, it's fun to see liver kicks, but I don't know. The way the guy that was talking when he was beating some people, like he was going to run through the division. I was like, dude, shut up. I don't know. It bothered me. I'm sure there's plenty of Giga lovers out there who are like, eh, there's lots of them. And I was kind of hoping you were one to fight about it, but Bruce Leroy, in terms of this fight, he's more well-rounded. If he grapples, he's got some upside here. I don't think he's going to. I think this is going to be on the feet. And I think Giga is a little bit better there. He'll use his movement. He'll use some kicks. Probably wins a decision. I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to keep it together. You know, there's a little bit of ring rust for him to work through being out. I think he wins a decision. I will argue that even though I'm picking Giga, Caceres is the better DraftKings play for tournaments because if he wins, I think he wrestled. And if he wrestled a 7,200, he's probably going to end up with a good score. So the pick is Giga. The DraftKings play is Caceres. Betting wise, it's probably dog or pass with Giga's layoff as well. I don't think I want to touch his number. Monk, what do you got?
Yeah, Giga off for more than a year and a half. Both guys going 4-1, but Caceres' resume not quite as good as Giga, with Giga having beat Cater, Barboza, and Swanson in his past three, while Caceres is at Pineda, Julian Erosa, Sung Woo Choi, and Kevin Kroom. So I am rooting for Caceres. I like Caceres. You know, he's not one of my favorite fighters, but Giga, definitely not one of my favorite fighters either. Caceres has made the optimal in two out of his past five fights. And just like you said, 7,200, great score to target if the guy has grappling upside, which he does. But I kind of tend to agree with you. It's probably Chikadze decision. I'd rather not see that. I'd rather root for Caceres, and I will be doing so. I don't know. When I do my notes tomorrow after weigh-ins, I might even pick, well, maybe. I don't know. It's probably Chikadze by decision, but you absolutely nailed it. DraftKings upside is Caceres all day, as Chikadze averages 92 points per win. That is it. So with no takedown control time upside whatsoever. So last thing I will say, what is Caceres' striking defense? Sixth best on the card at 57%. So, you know, Caceres has good movement as well. He can get caught, but he's got good movement. If he can get Chikadze to a decision, you know, 90% of me is going to tell you that Chikadze scores like shit.
Agreed. Totally agreed there. Let's move on. Let's talk about Rinya Nakamura. Second best prospect on this card in my mind. Yeah, had a Ryan Spann. Obviously not a prospect. He's minus 900. 9,600 on DK. Fernie Garcia is plus 600, 6,600 on DK. So this is the appropriate step-up fight for Rinya Nakamura. He is a real deal prospect. Obviously, I just hyped him up like that. You're not going to, you know, second fight in the UFC. He flatlined Kasama last. So apparently, the dude has power. Weird. If you just watch his UFC fight, you'll think, oh, okay, he's hyped up. He's got, you know, dynamite in his hands. Not really. That was weird. The dude is a relentless wrestler, which is music to geeks' ears if he's watching anywhere. Wrestle, 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 fuck you, wrestle, fuck you, wrestle, fuck you. I don't know how Fernie's going to stay up here. On the feet, it's close. I would give the edge to Fernie probably, but I don't think it's anything big. And if, you know, the kind of athlete that Nakamura is, if he keeps improving the way he did between two fights ago in his last fight, it's the problem for Fernie wherever this fight goes. The grappling style makes me like him a ton. He is the one fighter I would play above Holloway in GPPs because of ownership and grappling. It's tight, though. I'm not going to tell you. It's hard to fit both guys in a lineup, and I just want to be different. So I'll lean towards Nakamura, but they're both great plays all around. What makes probably Holloway a better cash game play is the extra rounds. I'm talking GPPs. So I don't really have much interest in Fernie Garcia. There's other dogs who I'm not picking with more upside. Good luck, buddy. Nakamura is the real deal, and he is who I have in this one. Monk, how about you?
Well, I was hoping that this wasn't the fighter you were talking about before when you said play me in head-to-heads, because I was like, I'm all over Nakamura against Fernie.
Come on. You have to know who it is.
I figured. Yeah, I do now. Yeah, now. yeah, you broke it down perfectly, man. 9,600 for Nakamura. I mean, you got to throw his numbers out. I mean, the guy's scoring 45 points a minute. He only fought for 35 seconds, so all of my numbers are no good, obviously. But yeah, he's a fantastic-looking prospect. Wrestle, fuck you, to death. Chain wrestling, wasn't he some? He was some like wrestling champion, I believe. Wherever he is from, yeah, I don't know.
He's from Japan. I'll pull up the exact.
Yeah, I didn't want to say the wrong thing. Relentless.
You're just gonna get us a bunch of hate, and if you get us a bunch of hate, people will start listening.
That's true. We'll throw it on TikTok. Well, let me tell you something about Japan. No, I'm just kidding. I don't I don't like Fernie Garcia in this fight at all. He hasn't looked great whatsoever. Way under 2 points a minute. He's fought for 30 minutes and he scores 1.63 a minute. Gives up over 4 inside the distance, and that's exactly what Nakamura is going to do. I mean, sub, ground and pound, club and sub, whatever you want to say, I think you broke it down perfectly. Nakamura has huge early DraftKings upside, whereas Max Holloway has huge decision 5-round DraftKings upside. So you're either going to have to go stars and scrubs, or you're going to have to kind of pick flip-flop like 50-50, pick one of each guy. But I love Nakamura for DraftKings at 9,600.
By the way, his wrestling credentials, it looks like he was a multiple-time Japanese national medalist at 2 different weight classes.
That's what it was.
Like, he got gold at the World Under-23 Championship.
That's what it was. Yeah, Under-23.
Had Olympic aspirations, but 2020, you know, nothing happened in 2020. So he just he was just hanging out at home. He was like, you know what, I'm going to go pro in MMA instead.
I'll skip this year. Yeah.
Not wait for the Olympics. So that is the background there.
Nice.
Let's talk about the best prospect on this card.
Yes.
The future strawweight champion of the world, Aaron Blanchfield, -145. And yes, I just saw Wei Li Zhang fight. I get it. Let me get to the intro first. DraftKings is 8,500. Tyler Santos, that is Tyler Santos, typo there. Man, I was trying to do that too quick. Damn. She's 7,700 on DraftKings. I got to get rid of this screenshot. I'm not going to look at it anymore. Even if Blanchfield loses this fight, she's got, like, her ceiling is so high at her age and her skill set with the wrestling. Had fought Andrade last time out. Striking is coming along. This is, and you can tell by the line, this is a very, very, very dangerous fight for her. Probably the most dangerous fight she could take outside of the champ. I would be, call me crazy, I'd be more confident in Aaron Blanchfield against the likes of Carlos Sparza, Rose Namajunas. I'd be more confident in Aaron against Rose than in Aaron against Tyler. This matchup is scary. Tyler's a really good grappler as well. Legit BJJ, what Blanchfield has. The striking is pretty even. And just who's going to come out on top of these scrambles? And I think, to me, it comes down to Blanchfield's a little more athletic. That's all that's breaking these two apart. Tyler Santos is scary at this weight class. It's terrifying. DraftKings, I feel like the -145 number on Blanchfield, I'd be lying to you. I haven't pulled the trigger on a bet yet because all the reasons I just mentioned, and I'm still paying a little bit of juice. I'll be watching. It's probably a good live betting spot once I get a feel for how Blanchfield is in the cage. I don't know if I pull the trigger or without the line jumping too much on me. Tyler Santos, DraftKings, the fight is like +180 to end inside the distance. It might be the lowest finish prop on the card, but they're going to wrestle. So I'm going to bump it up a little bit. It could be the case the two grapplers kind of cancel each other out. We strike for a little bit. It's not a I'm in love with you DraftKings fight. It's not bottom of the barrel. We'll get to some of those fights. But it's not an all-in spot by any means. Probably a low to medium exposure spot. Pick a side you like a little more and roll there. I don't even really like Blanchfield in cash games. The floor and ceiling are both too low in this fight. They just are. I like her as a prospect, but DraftKings here against Santos. Now give me her against Rose, against Carla, you know, against it's funny. You know what? I did think of one more dangerous fight. Can we not do Blanchfield versus Tatiana Suarez? Can we not do that one?
Because then two people at strawweight. Isn't she at strawweight now?
Oh, you're right.
Because they're trying to set up Zhang and Suarez next.
That's right. And I, you know what? At the beginning of this, I think I called Blanchfield a strawweight.
I thought so, but I figured it was just a brain fart.
Yeah, no, it was because she wasn't she didn't she have that one fight where she went down or some crazy shit. I feel silly at the start of this. I think I just said the wrong weight class and I started listing off wrong names. Oh man, she got Alexa Grasso in here. I went through the whole wrong weight class, just a total fucking brain fart. Man, I'm matching her up against flyweights. I'm just cutting off one of her legs. Yeah, at flyweight, who's gonna mess with her at flyweight?
Exactly.
The whole wrong weight class. She can beat Alexa Grasso. She can beat Valentina Shevchenko.
Yep.
The more fun fights are at strawweight.
Man, she might go up against Fiora at some point.
I just pumped up Blanchfield at 115. Man, I feel silly.
Well, it's because Rose is moving up next week, and it's kind of fucking everything up. Yep.
Rose is gonna be 125, all right?
Yep. She's fighting Man and Fiora.
Yeah. That's what screwed me up. So at least I have a leg to stand on. But then I started going through Whaley. I would love if Whaley went up and fought Aaron Blanchfield. That'd be a great fight.
Oh my god. Terrifying fight. Yeah.
But that being said, no matter what weight class she's in, I like Aaron Blanchfield. I'm gonna go ahead and have my humble pie while Monk tells you about this fight on DraftKings.
Yeah, I like Blanchfield as well. I'm really excited to see how high she can set the bar, to be completely honest. And she's one of the main reasons that flyweight is so good right now between Santos almost beating Shevchenko while we all thought Shevchenko was unbeatable. We've got Manafiora, who I just mentioned, Rose coming back. I mean, this division is crazy, and there's a reason why it is the best division to play for DraftKings, because a lot of times you get some mismatches here and there, and these women just go off. This time, I do not think this is a mismatch. A lot of people will tell you that Tayla Santos won that fight against Shevchenko, and she should have been the one to fight Grasso, but that's a whole nother argument. This is going to be a good fight, man. Like you said, I don't know how I feel about it for DraftKings. Both individual stats are off the charts. I mean, Blanchfield scores over 5.5 a minute inside the distance, and overall, both women allow like less than 1 point a minute inside the distance. Yeah, I probably think this does go to decision with tons of grappling, but who's to say, you know, somebody doesn't just make one tiny mistake and somebody finds a sub in there. I'm going to play more Blanchfield most likely than Santos for the reason you said. It's the athleticism, and at 24 years old, at this age, and I almost mentioned it for Rinya and I forgot, even though I think he's 28, between fights, you learn so much and you improve so much at this age. It's almost unbelievable, to be quite honest. So who knows what Blanchfield's done in the past 6+ months, but hopefully it's a ton. And I'm really excited to see her. My pick is Blanchfield, DraftKings Blanchfield, and just don't count Santos out for DraftKings either.
Speaking of world
class. Oh, yeah.
Junior Tafa, -145. Look at that stash. He's 8,600. Taking on Parker Porter, +120, 7,600. I left him. Hate on Parker Porter. I don't like Parker Porter so much. I picked fucking what's his face last fight. Fat boy steroid. I can't remember his name.
Braxton Smith.
Braxton Smith. That's more of an indictment of what I think about Parker Porter. Parker Porter, by the way, was already knocked out by Junior's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same here. Porter should wrestle. Should be a slop fest or a quick KO. I want no part of this betting. Like, I'm more selective in my bets. I know some people like to have 10, 15 bets a card. I like to have 2, 3. A big week is 4 to 5. That's a big week. So no thanks there. Too much volatility. Heavyweight volatile slugfest. And on DraftKings, I can't even go all in because, again, they're not high volume heavyweights. I don't trust Porter to wrestle. Like, all right, I'm going to take Tafa because I think he finds a knockout at some point. And if it's early, he'll score big. It's pretty – I agree with all the lines in this fight. Like, it's one of those I think Vegas has got lined up perfectly. Tapa should win, probably mid second round. Is the average spot here? Sometimes early, sometimes it just they haven't lined right. I'll just kind of play this one pretty vanilla on DraftKings and pass betting, and I'll pick my spots to get cute otherwise, including that super fade I have later. Monk, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't know about Tafa, man. I don't know about Junior Tafa here. He looked awful against Muhammad Usman. He was throwing just these huge bombs and not, I mean, Usman isn't the quickest, most athletic guy. I mean, he's somewhat athletic, but he was dodging almost all of the shots Tafa threw and then just had to, like, I think he had 12 plus minutes of control time in that fight. Like, Tafa had no answer for that. And that was only his fifth fight, professional fight overall for Junior Tafa. Meanwhile, Porter, like you said, should grapple. If he grapples, this is going to be the easiest fight of his fucking career. Even easier, well, maybe not easier than Braxton Smith, but pretty fucking easy. He should, you know, do what he did against Badeau, land two takedowns, control almost half the fight. Something like that would be a great game plan here. It's Tafa early, or it's Parker going to decision and just wrestle fucking him, controlling him, and possibly scoring, you know, 90 to 100 points, which I don't mind at 7,600, but I can't count on it. So give me a little bit of both sides. I won't spoil. Yeah, we'll talk about it more later, but I might pick Parker Porter this week. I'm probably going to regret that.
While I picked Braxton Smith, by the way, I was at MSG for that fight. I cashed, I think, the silliest bet. I was in a DraftKings suite. We're all dicking around. Plenty of drinks are flowing, having a good time. I did cash, not for a big amount of money, but I did cash. Oh, was that Prudential Center? Who was that fight? That was Sterling Cejudo. Yeah, that was in Newark. And I was in Jersey. Oh, yeah. With MJ. I was in Jersey, and I did the DraftKings suite because I'm from New York. I had all these extra props available that I don't have access to here in New York. And I was like, 0.5, it was like 0.5 rounds, like plus money. I'm like, really? Okay. I remember cashing that bet.
1 minute later.
I'm like, hey, I just cashed under 0.5 rounds. Like, so thanks for that, Parker Porter. That fight was,
yeah.
That fight was gross. Next fight up, more athletic heavyweight, I guess. But still not a lot of DraftKings goodness here. And Waldo Cortez Acosta at minus 260, 9,100 taking Lukasz Brzeski at plus 210, 7,100 on DraftKings. Monk, I'm going to give you the honor and the privilege of taking on this fight first.
Oh, I feel so honored. I hate this fight. For DraftKings,
that's why I wanted to get it to you.
No, 9,100 for Waldo Cortez Acosta. Yeah, not interested. Salsa Boy. While that nickname, I'm undecided on that nickname. I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm leaning bad.
I'm all about the Mexican food. If you don't, if you're unnamed
nickname,
whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I'll bump it up half a point.
You don't even. You can do that, and then if he doesn't make the cut, whatever you play, just add one for me. I'll add a little something.
There you go.
It's also on everything. It's a problem. Well,
the unnamed nickname parlay is already fucked because the best nickname is Korean Zombie. So what are you going to do, right? Yeah, it's already. So we're just going to have fun. It's pretty close, man. There's some bad ones around here this time of year. So, yeah, didn't look great against Marcos Rogério de Lima. And that's not a loss that aged well, as we know what happened to de Lima after that. Did beat Chase Sherman and Jared Vandera, possibly two of the worst three heavyweights of all time. Sorry, Harry Hunsucker, you are also on that list.
Have you seen Jared Vandera, by the way?
Yeah, he dropped down to light heavy.
Have you seen pictures of him?
Yeah, he looks decent.
He looks good. I'm like, oh. Am I going to have to pick you now?
Yeah, I saw he was dropping the light heavy, and I was like, what? Yeah, pretty good. I heard the same thing. Not the same thing. Obviously not dropping down, but somebody was telling me that Parker Porter's Instagram looks like he's dropped some weight for this fight. So he's looking better than he ever has, supposedly. I haven't seen that myself. But yeah, Lukasz Brzeski looks terrible. I mean, this is going to be a decision fight. No one's going to score any points, and you don't have to play it on DraftKings. If I'm wrong, then fantastic. I guess I will have learned something, but you can't play Waldo at 91, unplayable. I guess you can play Breschke at 71, but it's a gamble because Breschke sucks. So, yeah, the pick is Salsa Boy by decision.
I looked at Porter's Instagram real quick. I can't. Nothing drastic.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody lied to me then.
I mean, maybe. It's weird. It's kind of a vague pick where I guess maybe he could have lost weight. I don't know.
I wasn't expecting a six-pack, but.
I didn't scroll that far either. Cortez Acosta, Brzezinski. Yeah,
that's all the breakdown we need for this fight is that sound.
Look, Brzezinski is the better DraftKings play. I guess he's more likely to put up more volume and score. And I know that Waldo Cortez Acosta refuses to check leg kicks. I came really close to picking Brzezinski straight up. I mean, he lost to Boudet split decision, and he won that fight in my mind. That was a really, really bad decision. And he got wrestle fucked by Carl Williams. Cortez Acosta is not gonna wrestle fuck him. He's not gonna allow Acosta to have the same volume that he did against Chase Sherman. I don't know. I don't see a lot of big score for Acosta pretty much anywhere, and I think that we got a really live dog here in Brzezinski. I can't bring myself to pick him straight out because Acosta does have good movement. I think he'll keep it too technical. But if Brzezinski can make it a dirty type of fight, I think he's live for a win. And it's definitely my preferred DraftKings fight. Now we get to talk about Garrett Armfield. He is minus 165, so 8,700 on DraftKings. Taking on Toshiomi Kazama. Plus 135, 7,500 on DraftKings. Kazama got full on flatlined last time, I believe, against. He was the one who fought Brandon Nakamura, correct?
Kazama got murdered by Nakamura in 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was not good. That being said, I think, you know, Kazama is obviously better than that. Kazama does his best work grappling. Here's the problem. That's what Garrett Armfield does. And I think Garrett Armfield's a little bit better at it. Like, this is just a bad stylistic matchup for Toshiomi Kazama. He's live, and if he wins, the thing is, I like both sides of this fight for GPPs because there's going to be grappling. I don't see how they stand and trade. They're going to be on the ground, I think, scrambling, and I just think Armfield ends up in top position more often than Kazama does. And that's why he's the pick. That's why he's the better DraftKings play. But I think Kazama's live. He's not going to get 30-second flatlined again unless that is like one of those life-changing knockouts, which could happen. Sure. But I don't see that happening. So give me Armfield in this one and heads up for points here. It should be a lot of grappling. Bunk.
Yeah, I agree. I like the salaries here, 87 and 75. Armfield, you know, got beat by David Onama, but we have to remember that he didn't look terrible in the first round, and he took that fight on short notice up 10 pounds at featherweight. So not his natural weight class. He is back at bantamweight where he belongs. So I like it for that reason. He was only 6% owned in that fight, so I assume that's going to go way up since Kazama got finished in the way he did. But yeah, tons of grappling in this fight. Actually, Kazama was only owned 11%, so both guys' cumulative ownership total in the UFC, 17%. I expect both will be higher than that this week. Not 17, but higher than their respective previous ownerships. And I do like it because of the wrestling upside. I am definitely picking Armfield, though, because, like I said, he's at his weight class. And Kazama got brutally finished. I know they say it takes at least 6 months. Well, that's all we're at. We're at 6 months, 201 days since he was brutally finished by not Kinoshita, Nakamura. So yeah, I like Armfield here. I like the potential wrestling, and I'm hoping that Armfield gets to show what he's all about at bantamweight in this fight.
Move on to, I think, one of the more underrated fights on this card. We got Chidi and Jukwani. Minus 105, 8,000. The small favorite, truly a pick and fight, is Mikhail Oleksiychuk at minus 115. He's 8,200 on DraftKings. I got to give a shout out to Newsom, the boy Newsom on this one. So I finished my research earlier this week, and then I go back and listen to a couple podcasts, guys I respect and listen to. And he had a really, he phrased what I was thinking very well. And that both of these guys are going to be fucking ecstatic to fight someone who is not going to try and take them down. And I went, oh, that's like, they're going to stand and trade. They're finally like, you don't have to see any of this shit. Like they're not, they've just been taken down and beat up in fights. I think in terms of this fight, they're going to be striking. I lean towards Chidi because I think he's going to be longer, use distance well. I think Mikhail's going to be a little bit more wild coming in, closing the distance. He can land a big shot. Sure, I think Chidi's going to put it on him. I think Chidi's actually got a little more power, a little more range, a little quicker. I like Chidi in the spot, especially to pick him. I'm about Chidi and Jaquani in this fight. Monk, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. I like Mikhail Oleksychuk, if you will. Looking great so far since he moved to middleweight. But his two wins was Sam Alvey and Cody Brundage. So not really putting a ton of stock into that.
Ooh, then he got, fancy.
Then he got manhandled by Kyle Bahio. Beaten in the second round, I believe it was.
No shame in that, by the way.
No, like, no shame. Kyle's a beast.
We need a middle ground.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have that. Cody Brundage is your middle ground. That's an issue. Meanwhile, Njokuani does kind of have a middle ground. He fought MAB, Dusko Todorovic, and then lost a fight to RoboCop, in which he split him open and almost had him beat, and then lost to Duraev, which was a much closer split decision here. So I like Chidi. He should have the size. Yeah, 3 inches of height, 6 inches of reach here, and he hits like a truck, man. So does Mikhail, but I prefer Chidi. But this might be one of my highest owned DraftKings plays. Obviously, the inside of the distance line, the extremely close salaries of 82, 8,000. It really doesn't matter who you pick. Both guys have made optimal lineup twice since 2021. I would say just play this fight. I would be pretty shocked if it even got to the third round, to be honest. One of these guys is going to sleep, I would imagine. So give me Njokuani. If it does go to decision, though, it is not going to score well. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah, that will be gross.
Yeah.
Talking about Rolando Bedoya. He's minus 310, taking on Keenan Sung, who is plus 260. Bedoya at 9,200 on DraftKings. Sung is 7,000. I've been hearing a lot of talk about Bedoya all week. People really high in the Monk. Are you in that group?
I don't know. If I am, it's strictly because I don't trust Song Kinan at all. That would be the only reason. I'm not a Bedoya. I got to see more from Bedoya. I mean, he lost to Chaos, split decision, extremely close fight at $6,700. He put up 60 points. I'd have to go back and check. Actually, I can look right here. Did not make the optimal lineup with 60 points at 6,700. I got to see that optimal lineup again because that's wild. But yeah. 4 points a minute is what he put up against Chaos, which is good. He allowed 3.63, no takedown control time at all in that entire fight. It seemed to have been a striking affair, according to the stats. But yeah, I don't trust Song Kinan at all. So I guess I'll pick Bedoya. But at 9,200, that's a crazy price. Let's see. Song has been KO-TKO'd twice in the UFC, never been subbed. Meanwhile, it's pretty even for Bedoya as far as professional KOs, four of them. Professional subs 3. So I'm kind of hoping this one goes to decision, so I really don't have to play much of either side.
Yeah, this fight, so it's people jumping off of Song, and I get it. He is towards the end of his career, been around a long time, and it's people jumping off. He got knocked out by Max Griffin, I think, is the one that really kind of alarms people. And
I think
and
so.
I get it. Max Griffin's a good fighter, though, but I get it. You shouldn't be getting knocked out by Max Payne Griffin. And he got knocked out by Ian Garry, who was a smarmy motherfucker, but a good fighter. Getting knocked out there is not – I think people are jumping off a little bit too soon. Remember, before that Max Griffin fight, Song was 4-1 in the UFC. He was a legit prospect. Has fallen off. He's 4-3 in the UFC now. Rolando Bedoya's got one split decision win over Chaos Williams. Or split decision loss, I should say. Sorry, loss. to Chaos Williams, who either lands a big punch or gets shit on. So it's just strange. I think people are hopping off the Song too quickly. I am going to pick Rolando Bedoya, though, and I came this close to picking Song Kinan, though. It's more, what it came down to me is, yes, the question of durability, the volume. I think Bedoya is going to out-volume him and have more moments. They are in Asia. The judging... man, there's an issue. There's going to be an issue. Like, I'm always saying some inappropriate things, but there's Asian judges don't like other people. And even if you're the wrong kind of Asian, you've got a problem. And that's where I'm going to leave that. I'll be curious to see who the commission is flying in to actually judge the fight, but there's whatever home crowd advantage will be on the Song side. People jumping off him a little bit too quick. I think the betting value is on Song. If you want to take a stab there, I'm okay with it. A lot of people are on Bedoya, and I'm just not sure yet. Prove it to me. Other than some high volume, like that kind of juice, I can't quite pay it. And I don't think he's going to wrestle. We haven't seen, he didn't wrestle Chaos Williams.
Nope.
You think you're trying to wrestle Chaos Williams if you're going to wrestle anybody. So the pick is Bedoya, but I think he's going to be popular. Just a couple podcasts I've listened to, I'm like, man, I don't like this. So I prefer Song, but I can't pick him straight up. It's a weird kind of DraftKings out that I have to give I'm giving myself, but that's just how I feel about the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on and let's do a good old fraud check. You guys ready for a fraud check? Yosuaku Kinoshita, -140, 8,400. Take on Billy Goff, +120, 7,800. Monk, you get to go there first for this one, and this is actually a much better one to go first on.
Yeah, the only problem is I have like next to no stats for these guys, and I'm a big stat boy, as you all know, and I got nothing. Kinoshita fought for 4.5 minutes, and his stats are atrocious. Didn't even score 1 point a minute, allowed almost eight. He gave up 126 points to Adam Fugit at $9,100. So it's just
a big prospect that he got duty'd on.
Yeah, he got fugited for sure. Billy Goff, I mean, you got to throw this shit out too. What was this, a DWCS fight? He fought Shimon Smorsky. You know who it is. Beat him in the first round. There you go. Beat him in the first round. 10 points a minute. Allowed five at like 126. Again, these numbers need to be thrown out. This one, you just got to do your fight tape. You got to do your fight tape and take, I would listen to Sniper. I would listen to whoever else you would consider a reputable source when it comes to this stuff. All I'll tell you for DraftKings is you want to look at the inside the distance line for sure. See where everyone is leaning, because obviously if you see the finish.
It's a big old fat number.
That's what I thought. And if that's the case at these salaries, 84 and 78, very easy to get to them. You got to take your chances, maybe 20 to 25%. Same thing I said last week about the tough guys. And you know what? Two of the four, both winners, made the optimal lineup last week. So don't sleep on fights like this just because there's no stats. Do your fight tape. And if the number's big minus, like Sniper says, get one of these guys or both separately in your lineups.
Yeah, it's under 2.5 rounds with -270. Fight does not go.
Oh yeah, this is like -definition like of low level high variance, which you love for DraftKings.
Yep, and I pulled up the Tapology page here real quick. Nothing to look at. Kinoshita has only seen a second round or third round once in his career, and he got a knockout early in it. And Billy Goff, scroll down here. Billy Goff has seen in the last six fights, one decision, and then out all the way back in second, third pro fight. Finish. I mean, you would think we're going to see a finish here.
Yep.
And it's kind of just, like I said, fraud check. Kinoshita was supposed to be this great thing, and then he goes up against, gets out of the Asian regional scene where he was, finishing guys. He did win on the Contender Series, but before that, he was taking on guys like like Akihiro Moriyama. He lost the fight to Ryuichiro Sumimura, I believe it was. And that guy's 18-8. And then he's got a bunch of guys with -500 records. Like and that was Pancras.
Yeah. Yeah. My pick is going to be Goff. I don't think I said that. I'm picking Goff for the underdog.
I'm going to go Goff, but I think there's upside on both sides in GPPs. But straight up, give me Billy Goff. I think he's more likely to end up on top. I think he's more likely to find a big shot. It's going to be wild, though. It's a pretty low-level fight. And these are the kind of guys that either can make big improvements in between fights. I'm going to go with Goff, but it's mostly a fraud check situation, which is why I said it three times in the open. So that's what we're going to go with here. You ready, guys? You ready to talk about this?
Oh, geez.
Here we go. J.J. Aldrich is the biggest, one of the biggest favorites on the card. Not as much as Max Holloway, Rinya Nakamura. On a lot of cards, though, -555 would make you the biggest favorite on the card. She's 9,400 on DraftKings. Na Leung is +405, 6,800 on DraftKings. I wouldn't play J.J. Aldrich in DraftKings if you gave me $51,000 in a hand job. Give me an extra $1,000 in salary and a handy, and I'm not going anywhere near J.J. Aldrich on DraftKings. Can't do it. What's wild is that this fight, like the bookmakers think so little of Na Leung. The under one and a half, or sorry, the under fight ends inside the distance is -210. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big old number. Aldrich by KO TKO is +185. Aldrich inside the distance is -145.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, nope, not gonna do it. Not gonna get me there. No, I refuse. Yeah, if you're gonna play Aldrich and cash, send me your head, Dad. I'll just play Nakamura because you can't play both Nakamura. You might be able to squeeze in Holloway, Aldrich, and then go Stars and Scrubs. You can't fit all three. If you're gonna go Stars and Scrubs, the move is Holloway, Nakamura. So, look, she's low volume. Is Na Leung good? No. Just make it out of the first round and you're fine. Is Aldrich a killer? No. Like, it's just, no. -555. If you're gonna bet anywhere, you bet on Na Leung. You bet on any women's MMA fighter. But I mean, JJ Aldrich's got wins over. I mean, Jillian Robertson is good. Vanessa Demopoulos is probably the most competitive to Na Leung, and she landed 93 significant strikes, no finish. That's JJ Aldrich doesn't have a UFC finish. She's -145 to get one against Na Leung.
Right. It's because Leung's just
Danielle Taylor. She didn't finish Laura Mueller. I mean, is Na Leung that bad? I know she got, the problem is she got knocked out by Silvana Gomez-Juarez.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she was knocked out twice in a row, I think.
Ariane Carnelosi. God, I can't do it. I still refuse. I'd rather take shots on Na everywhere and just call it a day. Mom, please. I know the stats. The problem is I know all the stats are going to back me up. It's just, what do we think of Na Leung? That's what this
is. Exactly. Because the Silvana Gomez-Juarez, I believe, had not won a fight in the UFC until she faced Leung Na and then brutally finished her in the first round. Pretty sure she made the optimal lineup. Scored all the points in that one. Not all of them. She scored like 103. What would have been her salary at 8,600 that week? So yeah, it's, you know what it is with Aldrich. She -555 is fucking laughable. I hear podcasts every week and I subscribe to this line of thinking you better think twice, if not three times before you're putting your money on a -300 women's favorite. That's at any time. And we're at -555, guys. Like, this is a wild ass number for someone who's 3-2 in her last five. And in the UFC, 7-5, like, Aldrich, like Sniper said, doesn't score at all. I don't want to hear anyone talking to me about the fucking Blanchfield fight. And I'm glad we didn't bring that up earlier when we were talking about Blanchfield. Na Leung, what's going to happen here? She lands a ton of volume, but she gets outpointed everywhere. She gets KO'd. She has no chin. So she's either going to finish early or get finished early. So I guess I'm being forced into playing JJ Aldrich at some percentage. I got to limit it. Obviously very low, but it does help, like you said, to have Nakamura and Holloway also on this card. So even if Aldrich does get an early win, we still got a chance to not see her on the optimal lineup. So give me a little bit of Na Leung. I like the plus money if I'm going to bet, but I would probably stay away from this one. Maybe Na Leung in a few lineups, but I expect her to probably get finished, right? I don't know. Hopefully it goes to decision and we just don't have to worry about it. Winner scores 58, 60 points. And that's that.
Amen. Sung Woo Choi. He's taking on Jarno Ahrens. Choi's -165. Ahrens is +135. DraftKings 8,800 for Choi. 7,400 for Aaron's. Monk, you take this one first.
Yeah, Sungwoo Choi is very hard to trust, and he comes with an $8,800 price tag this week. Very unfortunate when he doesn't even score 3 points a minute. Inside the distance, he's getting outscored 2.5 to 4 points a minute is what his opponents score. Takedown defense is run of the mill, almost 70%, which is good, but he's allowing 2.2 per 15 minutes, which is not ideal at all. Two of his three wins over 100 points, which we do like. He's got a good power index and a very poor, what I call chindex, which is the opposite of power. How many times you've been knocked down per significant strikes. Yeah, trademark that, by the way. Both of those numbers are very high. So he's getting knocked down and he's knocking a couple of people down as well. Decent strength of schedule. But Jarno Ahrens, you know, didn't look great against William. Yeah, Gomez there. Decision loss, only landed 20 strikes, but he was controlled for 54% of that fight. I don't trust Sungwoo Choi to control him for that amount of time. It looks like the most control time he's had in his past five would have been way back against Yusuf Zalal in 2021, and that was 24% control time. So I'm going to give Ahrens a puncher's chance here. If there's any, let's see, hopefully, well, no, he didn't show any wrestling or grappling upside at all against Gomez, so that's still a question mark, but I can't trust Sungwoo Choi. I think I'm going to fade the favorite here and just play a little bit of Ahrens. Not fade Choi completely, but pretty hard, and I'll look for value elsewhere. I'm going to be playing some top range guys, so I don't even know if I can get to 8,800 this week. I might have to go more towards the middle range, so I might not be able to get to Choi much at all.
Yeah. Choi is coming off that wild, fun, crazy fight against Trezano. He got a knockdown. Trezano got two. Before that, though, he didn't get finished, but he got knocked down twice by Josh Koulibaly. And then he did knock down Alex Caceres and lost the fight. He's got a knockout of Julian Arosa. And he didn't finish. He got a knockdown against Subhan Mokhtarian, but didn't finish.
And everybody knocks down Julian Arosa, so.
Yeah, it's hard. It's just how much it's look. Choi should win this fight. I think he's better. Should get a finish. Has shown that even though he knocks people down, has not been getting finishes. I think he rushed for them against Frizzano, and that's what led to him getting knocked out. It's one of those Choi should win, but do I trust his chin? I want to pick Jarno Ahrens. I want to do it, and I can't quite pull the trigger. I think Choi is just better. Good upside here. Again, there's targets I would prefer rather than Choi. And Ahrens, I'm going to mix in just in case the Choi chin is gone on DraftKings. Betting-wise, I'd be looking at the under props here. I'm not even going to recommend one at the top of my head, but that's where I'd be looking instead of a street bet. Let's talk kill shots.
Yes, sir.
You got a kill shot queued up, unowned play for our DraftKings lineup.
I do. I have got, let's see. It's a tough one this week. There's not a ton of dogs that I like, and the ones I do like probably don't score well, but there is one that is sticking out. I'm probably picking him to win. It's going to be a slop fest, and his opponent I don't trust as far as I could throw, and he weighs about 260 pounds, so I can't throw him very far. It's going to be Parker Porter at 7,600. Oh. Yeah, kill shot, baby. He's either going to finish early or he's going to go to decision, hopefully with some wrestling. I don't really like a ton of, I mean, at 7,600, it's the mix of the salary, the relatively low salary, and the possible upside, which we might not even see. So it is a bit risky, but I'm just fading the guy with five professional fights overall in Tapa. It makes me sick. I've been sick once today already, and I feel about the same way as I did before.
I'm tossing back and forth between two.
It's tough.
I'm going back and forth between Billy Goff and Chidi.
Billy Goff and who? Chidi.
Chidi and Jukwani.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna do fucking name type to tiebreaker in your honor, Monk. Chidi Chidi Bang Bang.
There it is.
Chidi Chidi Bang Bang. Andrew Kwani will be my kill shot. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast today. Hit that like button if you didn't already. Hit the subscribe button. Do that now. Do it. I'm going to wait for you.
Yep.
Did you click it?
Same.
Good. All right. Perfect.
Thanks.
DFS Army members, I'll see you in Discord. Ask me questions in there. Cheat sheets, VIP podcast tomorrow. all the good stuff will be there from myself, Monk, all the other coaches, contributors we got. Make sure you check that out. If you're not a member, click the link below. Sign up. Don't be stupid. That's all I got for you for this week. Enjoy UFC Singapore nice and early. Let me know how you're watching it. Take care. I'll see you next time.